Well, first of all, guys, I'm honored to have an opportunity to share, especially it being the last men's midweek of the year. I did not know that, actually.
Yeah. No pressure, bro.
No pressure. No pressure.
But it's got to be amazing.
You're not. But I'll tell you what. I was just telling for all you guys.
The Yankees win.
All you guys. Oh, let's not talk about. We've had a lot of bad news over the last 10 days. So let's let it go. Let it go with that. Yeah. Right. We're getting heckled.
Right.
For those of you guys on Zoom here. We're getting heckled. No, guys, I'm really honored just to have an opportunity to share. I was just saying before to some of the brothers that are here in person that I feel a little anxious tonight. I haven't actually shared in a while, besides like doing welcomes and things of that nature. So bear with me. But this getting together for tonight definitely.
Max here.
Getting together for tonight definitely encouraged me to do a much deeper study of Joseph than I've ever done in my life. I mean, I read each chapter, that section of Genesis, probably 4 or 5 times, just trying to pull some things out of it that I had maybe never seen before. And I feel just edified. I hope that comes across tonight with what I share.
Come on, bro.
The things that I learned, and hopefully we can learn something from Joseph and some other scriptures that I want to share with you guys tonight. Thank you for the recap. I was going to recap, but you did a great job recapping. That's fantastic. No, great. I remember, I'll start here. I remember when I became a disciple, right? And I surrendered my life to God. And I had this ideal in my mind that life was going to just be easy from then on out. I was like, man, I surrendered my life to God. My life is going to be full of blessings. Good stuff. I've left the world behind. And I thought I'd be sheltered from the world, from pain, from disappointment, because God was in my life. Mm-hmm. And God showed up everywhere. Mm-hmm. That was the amazing thing. I remember becoming a disciple and God just showing up everywhere. I mean, he showed up at my job, you know, in tough situations that I had my job. And I'd pray about it. Bam, God would just work it out. And I was like, man, God, you're amazing. You know, I remember God showing up in my friendships. As my friendships got deeper, building friendships in the kingdom was just amazing. I had never had friends that I felt like I could be totally real with and not be judged. And so that was one of those things that when I came into the kingdom, I was like, man, God, this is amazing. My family was actually in the beginning not so receptive because I left our family church and started coming to church here. And it was hard for them. But I remember when they started seeing the love, I started bringing the disciples around my house. And as my parents and my siblings felt the love of the body, their whole attitude changed. I mean, they were drawn to the church. They were happy for me. In the beginning, they weren't so happy. I mean, it took a couple of months, but you know, little by little, I remember even my parents coming around, just feeling like, man, I like these people that you're hanging out with, you know. And I remember how encouraging that was. I remember dating in the kingdom. I thought I had gone to heaven. I was like, I get to date these sisters? I mean, they'll say yes if I ask them to go out. I mean, I can just encourage them and not feel any pressure. I mean, I was like, this is amazing. I mean, the kingdom of God is just, man, sign me up again. And that's just kind of the way it felt. I was just like, man, the kingdom is just fantastic. But I tell you what, and that's the way it was for months. Probably even, I might even say even for the first couple of years. But I tell you, little by little, right, life started catching up. And trials started coming around, right? Struggles with purity that hadn't been there for a while started coming around. Disappointments in my life. And I remember just wondering, God, what is going on? What's going on? I mean, I thought I left this stuff behind. Did I lose favor? I mean, I remember having these thoughts because it was just like, you know, for a year or two, my life was just a bliss. And little by little, I felt the world sneaking back in.
Right.
You know, and I started feeling like, okay, God, what's happening in my life? And can anybody relate to that? Hey, we've all probably felt that at some point in our lives. You guys on Zoom, because we all go through struggles. I mean, life is not perfect.
Right.
Life is not easy. God never promised us that life would be easy, right? He never said, okay, become my disciples and you will no longer have struggles. God never said that, right? And that's why I think the story of Joseph is such a powerful example of how God can use difficulties to accomplish something good, both in our lives and in the lives of those around us, you know, because people around us get impacted by our lives. Right? My first point tonight is God's plan is bigger than our pain.
Nice.
Right? And I'm not gonna go and read through every scripture. So I'll just for the first point is really out of Genesis 37 through Genesis 41. So I'm just kinda hit a couple of highlights there and give you like a little quick background just in case you weren't here last time, right? But Joseph was one of Jacob's 12 sons. And he was highly favored by his dad. I mean, he was dad's favorite. He gave him the famous Technicolor Dreamcoat, right? Dad loved Joseph. And that really did not bode well and did not go over well with his brothers. His brothers were jealous. His brothers, the Bible literally says his brothers had hatred for him. The Bible says they hated that relationship. They hated maybe that he was dad's favorite. And it caused a lot of problems. The brothers got together, the other 11, and they devised a plan. They were like, okay, how are we going to get rid of dad's favorite son? They didn't like the dreams he had. They didn't like the interpretations. And they said, okay, we're going to kill him. Reuben didn't like that idea. One of the brothers said, no, that's not a good idea. Let's not do that. All right. So they came together and instead of killing him, they decided to sell him. All right. So they decided to sell him and they sold him into slavery. And it was interesting, right? Because you would think, wow, that's such a horrible thing. And it was. It was definitely a horrible thing. But God sometimes does amazing things in horrible situations,
right?
Because not only was he sold into slavery, but he ended up in the house of Potiphar. Right? Potiphar was one of the king's, Pharaoh's guys, and he ended up in Potiphar's house. And not only did he end up in Potiphar's house, but he won favor at Potiphar's house, mm-hmm. to the point that Potiphar had him running everything.
Right.
And Potiphar gave him basically the keys to the house and said, you run my house.
Right.
The only person more powerful than him in Potiphar's house was Potiphar himself. Right. And everything was going great. Here's a young man. Obviously, we learned that last week, a couple of weeks ago, that this all started happening when he was about 17 years old. So he's a young man. And this stuff, he's being sold into slavery as a teenager. I have teenagers. Well, actually, I have two teenagers and a 20-year-old now. Mm-hmm. That happened a couple of weeks ago. So I imagined, I was thinking this through, and I'm like, wow, what would a 17 or 18-year-old be thinking at this time?
True.
You know, being ripped away from his family and being sold into slavery. But he goes into Potiphar's house, and he wins favor. Right, and everything is going great. I'm not really sure how long he was there, but he was there long enough that he was over the whole household until Potiphar's wife started having eyes for him. And ultimately, because he wanted to be righteous, he ran away and she lied, and you guys know the story, right? He left the tunic in her hands, and he ended up. Joseph ended up being imprisoned because his wife lied about what he hadn't done, saying that he had tried to rape her or tried to take her from him. But even in prison, God blessed him, right? God blessed Joseph. The warden put Joseph in charge of the prisoners and everything that was done in the prison. Can you imagine that? I mean, here he is, maybe 18, maybe he's 20 by this time. I mean, we don't really know for sure, but he was still a very young man. And he's not only has he been sold into slavery, now he's in prison. As a 20-year-old, I just kind of mentally try to put myself where he was, right? But he wins favor of the warden. During this time in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker were put in the same prison, and Joseph was put in charge of them. Okay, Joseph was able to interpret a couple of their dreams, and obviously, you know, he gave them a really good interpretation. And even though he was forgotten, a couple of years later, the king needed a dream interpreted, and they remembered, hey, there's this guy. There's this guy that interpreted my dream perfectly. You should reach out to him. And through that connection, right, all these little connections that are happening, Joseph is now introduced to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Sometimes, as I was reading through this, I'm like, man, sometimes God's plan involves some detours.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, man, you know what? I think my life should go like this. And God says, we're going to go like this. We're going to go around and about, but eventually you're going to be where I want you to be, right? And we may not understand, you know, we may not understand why we face certain struggles. But one thing I've learned in the last 34 years of being a disciple is that we can trust that God is working behind the scenes.
Yeah, amen.
Right? We go through things. We all go through things. We all go through struggles. And I'm sure that this series of events that happened to Joseph, none of that was in his plan.
Sure.
Joseph did not wake up one day and say, man, I can't wait to be sold into slavery. You know, he didn't wake up one day and say, man, I can't wait to go to jail, right? And nowhere in his mind did he envision probably that he would be in Egypt someplace,
right,
serving under Pharaoh, right? And yeah, God's plan definitely often involves unexpected detours. Does anyone? I want tonight to be. I don't want to speak the whole night. I want to kind of give us an opportunity. And if you can't answer this one, that's fine. Right now, I'll give you other opportunities in a little bit. But have any of us, and if you're on Zoom and you want to type it in, have any of us been handed or gone through some really unexpected detours in our life? That maybe you want to share. What? Anybody want to share an unexpected detour? Bobby. Cool.
When I was pretty much like in elementary school, I started to really understood what I wanted to do. And by the time I was like a freshman in high school, I knew this is the college I want to go to,
right,
what I plan on majoring in, and this is the type I want to do directly upon getting it. And I never really even considered that there was an alternative path. It was just like, this is what I'm doing. To the point that like I only applied to the one school that I wanted to go to. Like, foolish, you know what I mean? Like, just choices filled with entitlement, like, this is what I'm doing. And so I went to that school and I studied what I planned on studying. And then I graduated and I got the exact type of job that I had planned to get from when I was a kid, you know?
Right.
And then 2 months into having that job, I left my laptop on a train and I was very quickly let go. And that expected, dreamed, overly confirmed plan in my life, where every step had just gone the way it was expected,
right,
was gone.
Right.
And you know, God did it and totally rearranged my whole life and moved me around from that point. And he did it, I think, to help me realize how entitled I was.
Right.
Like, I had become a disciple before that, but I'd never really seen the entitlement so clearly as when suddenly this one path that I was on, that I expected to be on, was going.
Sure.
What company was it, if you don't mind my asking? What job was it?
I wanted to do like business management consulting. It was a smaller firm, but they ended up getting acquired by Accenture like shortly after that point in time.
Anybody else have any detours you want to share? No?
I can share.
One more. All right.
Yeah, so I left New Jersey. I was partly because I was in trouble with the law.
Oh, sorry.
So I no,
look, that's make up
now.
Yeah, no, explain.
But I went to go and leave New Jersey and get away from people and study fishing while and become a mountain man. And then I ended
from Jersey City.
Yeah. I was born country. I don't know what happened. But anyway, I loved it. And then, but when I first got there, and I loved it within the first week, somebody from the Church of Christ knocked on my door. Hey, do you believe in God? And then after God pursued me for about 3 years, and then I was baptized, and then God brought me back to New Jersey. That wasn't expected. I was like, I'm come back. Doing. I'm back here.
That's cool. Amen. That's awesome.
Amen.
That is awesome.
In the woods.
There's a lot of detail.
We live in the woods
for a long time. County.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Now you're back.
That's another story.
And you have a tractor.
But
yeah, exactly.
You know,
he's got a lot of outdoor tools.
Wow.
Yeah, but it is amazing. I'm sure we could all share detours that God has put us on, right? Because we might think we have a plan, but God's plan is always better. We may not understand that plan till much later, but God will reveal it to us, right? The second thing is,
a real quick thing.
Sure. Right?
He said, my sophomore year of high school, I transferred to another high school to play football, but ended up playing varsity basketball or baseball. I'm not sure which one.
Wait, which Matt is this?
This is Matt Piccolo.
What's Piccolo? You were playing basketball, bro?
Well, to make it better, and then future wife. So there you go.
There you go, bro. God had a plan. That was a nice detour. I'm sure you didn't mind that one, huh? Yeah, but leading into my second point, which is, difficulties can lead to growth and transformation.
Right.
Difficulties can lead to growth and transformation. You know, like I said before, in my estimate, just kind of reading through the story and reading through the timeline, I'm assuming that Joseph was probably in his early 20s when he was imprisoned. Somewhere in there, probably pretty early 20s. And he was going through some challenges that most young men in our early 20s would probably have a really hard time dealing with. You know, the separation from your family, the betrayal, the being sold.
Yeah.
That may be a little bit hard. And then being imprisoned. And, you know, not, this is not a question for a reply, but a question for you to think about. But I want you to think about the challenges that you're going through right now. I mean, I'm sure we're all going through challenges, just in one way, shape, or form, whether it be at work, whether it be at home, whether it be something personal. How are you dealing with those challenges? You know, are we dealing with those challenges? Are you dealing with those challenges in a spiritual way? Or is your worldly nature kind of sneaking back in, right? Because it's so easy for that to happen. I was reading the scripture in Psalm 66 that I want to read to you guys. But in Psalm 66, verse 10 to 12, it says, "For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." Right? How is your faith being tested? Check out what he says here. For you, God, tested us, you refined us like silver. Right? Well, think about that refining process of silver. I'm sure Bob can give us a whole class on that. How soon? Not right now. Maybe some other time. But yeah, it's through fire, right? It's through fire. It's not an easy process, but it's pure when it's refined. Right? And this particular scripture says, "For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver." And I know sometimes I've definitely been guilty of this when I'm going through some struggles. I think sometimes my mindset can be, okay, God, why am I going through this struggle? Why is life so hard? You know, and I can justify why I shouldn't go through those struggles. you know, but based on scripture, God says, hey, you know what? I'm refining you. No, I'm making you stronger. Amen. Right? It says, then at the end, and the last verse, at the last sentence of verse 12, he says, but you brought us to a place of abundance. You know, sometimes God allows us to go through stuff so that he can bless us. And man, it doesn't feel that way when we're going through it. I mean, I've kicked and screamed and, you know, shouted at God, and I've been angry with God. But God sometimes says, man, I'm going to refine you, but then I'm going to bring you back to a place of abundance. Right? Which, how awesome is that? You know, I think about doing that for my kids, right? You sometimes you have to discipline your children. But man, after you discipline them, don't you just want to love up on them? Don't you just want to hug them and take them out for ice cream or just do something for them to remind them how much you're loved, how much they're loved? And when I read the scripture, I think that that's what God does for us. You know, because sometimes God has to allow us to go through hard times. But then he blesses us with abundance. You know, and in Genesis 39, going back to Joseph, in Genesis 39, verse 20 and 21, it says, Joseph's master, who was Potiphar at this time, says Joseph's master took him and put him in prison. This is after his wife lied and you know, obviously she said that he made advances on her, and Potiphar was furious. You know, Potiphar felt betrayed. Potiphar said, how could you? I've given you everything. I put my whole house in your hands, and now you do this to me, right? So he took him and he put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. I think it's really interesting when you read the scripture, read chapter 39, read chapter 40 of Genesis, because while Joseph was in prison, things were happening even in prison, right? It says, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness. This is verse 21 of Genesis 29. It says, but while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So not Joseph, the first place he went was to Potiphar's house. He found favor. Potiphar puts him in jail. Now he's in jail. And what does he find? He finds favor, right? Because God was with him. You know, sometimes it's so easy to forget that, right? God is with us. I think throughout his challenges, Joseph's character was growing. Now, here's a young man, right, going through all these difficult challenges. But I think Joseph, when he started in Potiphar's house and then he went to prison, and I think his character started to grow. He started to develop new skills. He started learning how to manage people. He started learning how to be patient with people. He started growing stronger. He started learning how to depend on God. You know, there were a lot of things happening because that was God's plan.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure Joseph didn't realize that this was what God was doing because he didn't see the end game, right? But something was happening, right? The first thing at Potiphar's house, he learned how to manage a household. Then he went to prison and he learned how to manage people. Isn't that cool? I think that's amazing. You know, but how do we handle difficult seasons in our lives? Right? We all go through difficult seasons. Do we view it as an opportunity to grow? Right? When we go through hard times, we say, hey, you know what? I'm going to learn something from this. I'm going to grow from this. Or is it just a time of discouragement? You know, when things don't go our way, do we struggle? Do we have attitudes with God? Do we, you know, complain? Or do we say, okay, God, what do you want me to learn? How can I grow? Right? Not always easy, but I'm learning that there's always a reason for our struggles. And we'll see that. We'll see that as we continue reading here. How does God want us to handle these times? I want to read 1 Peter from 1 Peter 1. Because I think of 1 Peter 1, Peter really tells us how to handle these times of struggle. It says, In 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed." Isn't that awesome? He says, okay, yeah, you're going to go through some struggles. And he says, yeah, your faith will be refined by fire. He says, for now, for a little while, you may have to suffer some grief of all kinds, and all kinds of trials. But there's a purpose. There's a reason. And the reason, which I love this last sentence, your faith may be refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ is revealed. Right? When Christ is going to be revealed in our lives. I mean, if we're faithful to God, I believe that each one of us, in each one of our lives, eventually Christ is being revealed. And I think that when we persevere, when we conquer fears, we conquer trials, that God works in those, and we see so many things. I was thinking about some great men in the Bible, right? Great men in the Bible that went through some challenges. Let's think about Moses, right? Moses faced rejection by his people. He was exiled in the desert. He had no confidence in himself and his ability to lead. He said, "I can't even speak," right? Think about David. David was hunted by King Saul. He lived as a fugitive. And then he had someone murdered. I mean, David had his struggles, right? Think about Job. Job lost everything. I mean, literally, Job lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his friends. They betrayed him. Well, they abandoned him. Think about Paul. Paul was beaten. Paul was stoned. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was imprisoned and eventually martyred. Right? Give me a couple more. Who else can you think of? What other great men in the Bible can you think of that went through extreme trials? I think they went through a few. Who else? Daniel. I mean, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, right?
Jesus.
No, not Jesus' life was easy. No, absolutely, of course, right? I mean, he's the ultimate curveball there was Jesus, obviously.
Lazarus.
I didn't think about that one. But yes, absolutely.
Good one.
Yeah.
Prophets like Jeremiah, or just nobody was listening to them. But was it Ezekiel that like laid on one side? But they just did some pretty crazy stuff that God asked them to do.
Sure.
Like, nobody repented. Yeah, but they were always faithful.
They were always faithful. And
Jonah's like a good counterexample of someone who went through the trials but didn't do what you're suggesting.
That is true. Right, you try to run away.
That's true. Like he didn't learn from it.
Right, didn't learn from it. Right. I think most guys are not that hard-headed. I would like to think that we as men are not that hard-headed, but there are a few. Right. Sometimes we just don't get it. God has to keep pounding on us. There's definitely some examples of the Bible in that. Right. It wasn't multiple lessons had to be taught before they actually got it. I think the amazing thing about this, when you really think about it, is that these men that struggled so mightily are the pillars of our church. Right? These guys are the pillars. So they all struggled. They all went through hard times. They were all refined by the fire. And they became the pillars of our faith. So there's hope for us, right? There's hope for each one of us. And when we're going through struggles, when life isn't going the way that we want it to go, when things aren't going exactly as planned, there's hope for us, because the amazing thing and the most awesome thing, I think, is that we're not in control. right? But God is in control. And God is the one that's leading us. He's got a plan, right? And just recapping real quick, Genesis 45 and 50. I'm not gonna read it. I mean, we'll be here till too late. I wanna finish up here shortly. But eventually we know that eventually Joseph became a powerful leader in Egypt, because he was brought before the king, he brought before Pharaoh, he interpreted Pharaoh's dream, and Pharaoh put him in control. Right? He controlled the food, because the famine was coming. After 7 years of plenty, there was 7 years of famine. And that was something that Joseph was able to interpret the king's dream. And as a result of that, the king put him in charge of everything. So Joseph rose, and the only person more powerful than him in Egypt. Can you imagine that? Think about where Joseph came from. Okay, think about where he was in the beginning of his story. He was hated by his brothers, sold to slavery, imprisoned. And here he is, the second most powerful world, the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. Right? And I think about that, it blows me away. And obviously when the famine struck, his brothers, unknowingly, because they were hungry and because everyone needed food, unknowingly, they didn't know who he was. They had to go to Egypt and they had to get some food. And they came to Joseph for help. If your brothers did what Joseph's brothers did to him, without giving the religious answer, just being real, how do you think he would have react? I mean, would you have reacted with mercy? See, I would like to think that I would have reacted with mercy and kindness and love, but man, that's a tough one.
You remember me.
Right? You remember me, right? That's a good one, right? It's a tough one because Joseph's life was not easy. And he could have said, it's because of you guys that I've been through such hard times. It's because of you guys that I spent years in prison. You know, it's because of you guys that, you know, all of these different things have happened. But Joseph, I believe, had matured.
Yeah.
He matured. So everything that he learned when he was managing Potiphar's household, everything that he learned when he was managing in prison, managing all the men in prison, and now obviously being put in charge by Pharaoh himself. I think that there was so much that he learned, that he matured, and he was able to see beyond that.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure he felt it. I'm sure that that there were things in his heart that he was like, oh boy, you guys are so lucky. You know, I mean, that's definitely the way I would have felt. But I think Joseph was able to see God's master plan, right? He was able no longer to think about, hey, this is my walk. This is the way I want to handle it. But man, okay, God had a plan, right? And I think that Joseph was given the ability to see that all of this was God's plan, and that it wasn't his, it wasn't, you know, it was all intended. It was planned by God. And instead of seeking revenge, Joseph chose to forgive. You know, he chose to provide them with food. He provided them shelter. And I think it's great scripture is in Genesis chapter 50, in verse 20. Joseph is speaking to his brothers. And he says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Isn't that cool? And that's what shows me that Joseph had matured, right? He knew the intent. He knew what they had done. You know, he knew that it was bad, but he said, listen, you intended to harm me, but God had other plans. You know, and that's the way it is sometimes in our life, right, guys? That we just, you know, Satan, there's a song, I don't remember the name of it, but there's a song. At the beginning of the pandemic, you know, I was going through some stuff at the beginning of the pandemic. And there's one song, I can't remember it, but the lyric in that song was Satan meant for evil, you intended for good. You know, and it, that's, I don't know if they got it from here, but it's almost exactly the same, that sometimes Satan tries to destroy us and God allows us to be tested. But God pulls something good out of it. You know, sometimes the hardships that we face are not just about us, right? God may be orchestrating the bigger picture. You know, he may be, your kids are watching, you know, and your kids are saying, how is dad going to react to this, right? Because kids see everything, right? And when we do things and we react angrily, or we react and we want vengeance, or we react, we treat our wives in a way that may not be respectful, you know who's watching? All the little eyes, right? Your neighbors are listening. Your children are watching. And sometimes you go through those trials, and when you reply or you respond in a positive way, it makes the biggest impact. You know, my daughter just became a disciple a couple of weeks ago. And we've been having a lot of conversations ever since she became a disciple, which is really awesome because she was really private about her spirituality before she got baptized. Like, she really wanted to do it on her own. And we never forced her to study the Bible. We never forced her to follow God. We said, you're on your journey. And when God calls you, he's going to call you. And he did. Praise God. And she became a disciple a couple of weeks ago. And we've been having some incredible conversations recently. A lot of spiritual conversations that we never had before. But one of the things that kind of stands out to me, because I've asked her questions like, you know, why have you decided to follow God now? You know, what pushed you? What drew you to God? And some of her replies have been things about my relationship with my wife. And without getting into a lot of detail, my wife and I have gone through some really difficult times. And God has just blessed us, and God has gotten us through a lot. But I think it's just so amazing how my daughter can say, she saw that. You know, that my daughter could say, man, you were like trying to be like Jesus so badly, you know, and it drew her to God. So my point in bringing it back to Joseph is, Joseph could have reacted in so many different ways. Right, but he reacted in a way that it drew people to God, you know. And for us, I think, you know, we want to draw our coworkers, we want to draw our family, we want to draw people that just see us and how we react to things. In closing, there's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians that I know we're all familiar with it, but I think it's such a cool scripture. In chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact we're doing." Like, guys, a lot of us were at the men's retreat, right? We went to a retreat. We got a brother here with the shirt on, and we got deeper, right? And the whole point of us going to that retreat, a little crooked there, was because we wanted to deepen our friendships. We wanted to deepen our communication, we wanted to deepen our relationship with God. We as men just need to get deeper. And I personally, I'm so grateful for the retreat. I'm so grateful that for the lessons that were taught. I'm so grateful for the openness of the brothers that shared. And I think it was a great step in the right direction for us as men. I'm hoping that just reading through Joseph's life and this scripture here, God wants us to encourage one another, right? He wants us to build one another up. And I guess reading through Joseph's life and seeing how he reacted gave me just hope for what God is going to do with our men's ministry.
Yeah, awesome.
I am encouraged by the conversations that I've had since the retreat. I'm seeing men fellowship, and it seems like we're communicating better. And I'm just encouraged, and I want to just encourage you guys to keep it up. You know, just as the scripture here, you know, just as in fact you are doing, you know, we got to keep it up. You know, we gotta keep looking for ways to respond in a godly way. You know, we gotta keep looking for ways when we're going through our challenges, which we are all going through challenges. How do we respond to the challenges? Are we handling them in a spiritual way? You know, or is the world creeping back in? You know, so I want to encourage you guys tonight, you know, just pray about, you know, think about that. You know what? We're all going to go through struggles. Joseph went through many, you know, but at the end of this story, he took care of his family. He loved his family. He rescued his family because he wanted to be righteous. You know, I just wanted to throw two questions out there. Not for now. We're actually done. But just for you guys to think about. The two questions that I have for tonight is, have you faced a difficult situation that in hindsight you now see was part of God's plan for you?
Okay.
Have you ever faced a difficult situation that in hindsight you now see was part of God's plan for you? And the second question is, what are some ways we can trust God more deeply when we go through difficult times? All right, so you guys can, you know, pray about that, talk about it, meditate on it, but I really want us to think about how we as men can be different, you know, how we can lead our wives, our sisters, our families in the most righteous way possible. I love you. I love the kingdom. I'm so grateful to be a part of it, and I hope that, you know, that you guys got something out of the lesson tonight, but I'm really grateful to have gotten an opportunity to share it.
Amen. Yeah.